Please go to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2, which is where we're going to begin this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I was recently reading a section in the scriptures and something really stuck out to me. And before we get there, I wanted to go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Familiar verses here in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, all women, for all people. And we don't want to forget verse 2, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. We make the time to pray for family, for friends, for other believers that we know. And we also make time to pray for those who are in authority. Why? So that, verse 2, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So really, regardless of who wins an election, we continue to pray for those who are in authority. And regarding the way the recent election turned out last Tuesday, perhaps the wave of ungodly ideologies might slow down a bit, hopefully. In other words, we might have a little more of quiet and peaceable life than we would have had if it had gone in a different direction. And why would we want to have a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty? So that our lives are blessed, so that people get out of our hair. And more importantly, you know, verse 3 says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, who will have all men, all women to be saved and to come unto a knowledge of the truth. That's why. We have a quiet and peaceable life so that we can, like the song just said, spread the good news across the land. Because God's will is that everybody would get saved. Will everybody get saved? No. But God desires that all people would be not only saved, but come to a knowledge of the truth. And, you know, there's some people that may see things strictly from a political view. But why are there people, we've mentioned this before, why are there people in our country that do not recognize the growing godlessness in our country? And it's because they lack a knowledge of the truth. And so we continue to pray for those who are in authority, and we might now have a little more breathing room to speak freely God's word, to bring to people a knowledge of the truth. And go, before we get to that section I want to share this morning, go to Acts 26. I think I read this a couple of weeks ago. This was Paul before King Agrippa, and we're going to Acts 26. This was Jesus Christ's commission to Paul on the road to Damascus, and he was relating this to King Agrippa. And in Acts 26:14, and when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking to me. We're in Acts 26:14. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting. But arise, stand up on your feet, for I've appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. And then look at verse 18. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them who are sanctified by faith that is in me. We have the great privilege living in this wonderful country of bringing the most important thing our country needs. And that's the light of God's word. That is the most important thing our country needs. So we go to Acts chapter 10, which is what I want to share with you this morning. Acts 10. Probably familiar. Acts chapter 10. Verse 1 says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. The biggest obstacle for the Jewish people in the first century was accepting information from God concerning the big secret that God never told anyone, the mystery. And that's because for centuries, all of the people on the face of the earth, of everybody who lived, no matter where they were or whatever, of all the people on the face of the earth, God chose to be his people, to be their God, the descendants of Abraham. And you can read all about that in the Old Testament. So there were the Jews, the Hebrew people, the descendants of Abraham, and everybody else, called Gentiles, or sometimes it's referred to as the nations. So you had the Jews and everybody else. And they had wonderful promises, they had covenants with God, and God chose to be their God. So at this point here in Acts 10, God had not yet communicated the details of the mystery, which he first did to the Apostle Paul. We read a little bit about that last week in Ephesians 2, where God talked about how the uncircumcision or the Gentiles were strangers from the covenants of promise, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, without God, without hope in the world. The Messiah was promised to Israel. But meanwhile, God had this secret that when the time came, it's going to be open for everybody. And since Pentecost, salvation is now open to anyone who accepts Jesus Christ as Lord and believe God raised him from the dead. So at this point, it's available, but the information about it is a little bit scarce. Recently, I read this section in the book of Acts, and verses 1 and 2 really struck me regarding bringing the light of God's word to our country. Verse 1 again. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, one that feared or reverenced God with all his house, who gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. How much information about the one true God did this man know? What a heart for God this man has. Look at this. He was a devout man. He reverenced God with all his house. He was a big giver. He gave and prayed a lot. But he's a Roman. This isn't like you're reading from the House of Levi. So this is a Roman, a centurion no less, in charge of 100 guys, occupying Israel up there in Caesarea. He's a Roman. Who would have ever guessed that this man would have a heart for God and would want to know the truth, as we'll see in here. And when I read these first two verses, I thought, how many people in our country might be hungry for the truth? Well, that guy will never believe. Really? Paul did. Paul was leading the persecution. And he believed God in a very big way. Then there was that goofball Simon the sorcerer in Samaria. No one would have ever expected him to believe, but he did. He did. You know, when you consider how many people, and I'm not trying to be political here, but how many people voted for a political party that embraces so many ungodly ideologies, it ought to be very obvious to us that our country needs the light of God's word to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light. There's great learning in this section as we're going to read it, but something that really stuck out to me. So don't discount anyone. Don't discount anyone. You never know who's looking for the truth, who's open to receive the truth of God's word and have their life changed. It's like that song we listen to. All we want to do is help. All we want to do is spread the good news across the land. So never discount anyone and always have the confidence to speak freely. We have the right to speak freely. So let's read this wonderful record. There's other things in here that are just great learning for us as well. So, verse 3, this guy Cornelius saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, that's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius? And when he looked upon him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Isn't that beautiful? And now, here's what you need to do. Send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And if you read the chapter before chapter 9, that's where Peter is. He went down and did a wonderful miracle there in Joppa. Verse 7. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. Leave now. On the morrow, next day, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. This is noon. Third hour of the day is 9 a.m. Sixth hour is noon. Ninth hour is 3 p.m. And the reason he went on the housetop, because the housetops were flat, was a good place to go and just be quiet, hang out, pray. So he's kind of hungry, but he went up there to pray. Because verse 10 says he was hungry. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. The word trance, such a bad translation. It's actually the word amazement. So an amazement fell upon him, or something amazing happened. And as we read, it was very amazing. Verse 11 says, Saw heaven open, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth. A great sheet. This isn't like a king size, or even a California king. Because there's going to be a lot on this sheet. Wherein, verse 12, were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. This is the vision that God showed him, this giant sheet that went down on the earth. There's all these animals on there. And there came a voice. Oh, so not only a vision, but he gets a voice with it. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. What a great vision to a guy on the housetop that's like, man, are they done making lunch yet? I am hungry. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And if you know the Old Testament law, there were definitely animals they were not allowed to eat. God says, don't eat those. "I've never eaten anything common or unclean." And the voice spake unto him again the second time, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." This was done thrice, three times. And the vessel was received up again into heaven. Three times. "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." "Oh, not me. I don't eat common or unclean animals. Never have." "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." "Oh, no, not me. I don't." Three times this happened. And verse 17 says that while Peter doubted in himself, or while Peter was very perplexed in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. What timing God has, isn't it? And the gate is, that's where you would say, "Hello, anybody home?" They didn't have like doorbells. You didn't go up to the door. You stood at the gate. "Hello, anybody home?" "And called," verse 18, "and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there." While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, "Behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." He sees this vision and he's like, man, that was something. The three guys get there and God, the Spirit said unto him, revelation, there's three guys downstairs. You go with them and doubt nothing. Okay. Look how God worked with Peter. You know, last week we talked about the Spirit of God is in us. It's in each one of us. And we talked about how it's the Spirit of God that helps us and enables us to do the work of God, to do the works of God. We are His masterpiece, right? Created unto Christ Jesus unto good works. It's the Spirit of God that helps us. And so because of his, you know, obvious Jewish background, and because the details of the mystery had not been communicated, God graciously helped Peter with an amazing vision, and then a voice with the vision, and then revelation about who's downstairs and what you need to do. Go with them. And we have the same Spirit of God that Peter had. Because we know from the Scriptures it's the same Spirit. It's all in all. Same God, same Spirit of God that can work in us as well. So, verse 21. And Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, "Behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause whereunto ye are come?" And they said, "Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that reverences God, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for you into his house and to hear words of thee." Okay. "Then called he them in, lodged them, and on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow after, they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and near friends." Isn't that cool? He's got his relatives and friends. I guess, remember, he saw the vision, called his two household servants and one of his soldiers, said, "Look, I saw an angel, and go to Joppa, find this guy Peter. He's living with another guy named Simon, who's a tanner by the seaside." It looks like between then and when Peter arrived, Cornelius was telling some folks about what happened. Wouldn't you? If an angel appeared to you and gave you these instructions, you'd be telling your relatives and friends, "There's a guy by the name of Peter that's going to come. An angel told me, go get him. He's going to tell us what we need to hear." So they're all there waiting. Cool. He wasn't afraid to speak. "And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. And Peter said, 'Kiss my ring.'" bow the knee, kiss the ring. No. Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself also am a man. I'm just a man. You know, like Paul said in Corinthians, who is Paul? Who is Apollos? Ministers by whom you believed. We're just servers. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, this is what Peter said, you know how that it's an unlawful thing for a man that's a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. That's what the law says for me as a Jew. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. I guess God showed him in a very amazing way, right? Oh, that's just so beautiful. Therefore, came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I ask, therefore, for what intent ye have sent for me? And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house. We didn't see that in the earlier verses. So now we know what he was doing there at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He was praying. Isn't it interesting? When Peter got the vision, what was he doing? Praying. Oh, prayer's a good thing. 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send, therefore, to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He's lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. It's interesting that Peter didn't waste any time going to Caesarea, did he? Said, hey, I came as soon as I heard about it. And Cornelius didn't waste any time. He didn't go, well, I don't know. Maybe I ought to take a few days, think about this before I... If God gives you the info, then move. Move on it. Right then and there. We are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. There it is. There's a heart that wants to know. What does God have to say? What's the truth? And not just him, his relatives and friends. Are there people like that in our country today? Sure. Don't discount anyone. Verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Doesn't matter who they are, doesn't matter what they've done, doesn't matter what their background is, nothing matters. God's no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him, reverences him, and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. And as you know, salvation requires two simple things. One is to accept Jesus Christ as Lord of all people. Confess with your mouth, the Lord Jesus. And number two, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And anyone that does that, like these people Peter's talking to, if they meet those two requirements, accept Jesus as Lord, believe in their heart God raised him from the dead, they will get saved at that moment. They will receive salvation. And they will also receive the gift of Holy Spirit. Verse 37, that word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we're witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. They murdered him. They killed him. They executed him. He died. Verse 40, him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. And there's the second point. God raised him from the dead. If these people accept and believe that, they're going to get saved. Showed him openly, verse 41, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. Well, second time we're saying that. God got him up. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he. He is the one which was ordained of God to be the judge of the living and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. And there is obviously some words that Peter spoke that are not recorded here, because the next verse says, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of Holy Spirit. How did they know that these people had received the Holy Spirit? Verse 46, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. When you speak in tongues, you magnify God. In Acts, when they spoke in tongues, it said they spoke the wonderful works of God. You know, it says in Corinthians that when you speak in tongues, you're speaking to God, speaking divine mysteries, giving thanks well. So here's these, Peter and six guys are with him. God sent him to preach, so he's preaching, and these people just must have been really hungry. And they believed it, and then they spoke in tongues, and they're like, what? What? They knew they had received because they heard them speak in tongues. This is the first record in the Bible of Gentiles receiving salvation and manifesting Holy Spirit. It was a mind blower to these guys. Verse 46, they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received or manifested the Holy Spirit as well as we? If you're born again, you have salvation, redemption, you're righteous, justified, all sins forgiven, all these things that we know in the scriptures that say happens the moment you get born again and you have eternal life. You're going to meet Jesus Christ in the clouds. You have Holy Spirit. You can. What is water going to do? Okay, sure. And verse 48 says, he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Their minds were blown. They'd never seen anything like this. This was a totally foreign concept. Why? Because Gentiles are, we don't associate with them. You can't go into their house. You become unclean. You don't touch them. You don't have anything to do with them. In some places in Scripture, they're referred to as dogs. Their minds were blown. And so, let's water baptize them. But did Peter actually water baptize them? Well, let's keep reading and we'll get the information out. Acts 11, 1 continues on. The apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, Peter finally got back home to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, Peter, you went into men uncircumcised and you ate with them. What is up with this, Peter? They contended. And see, we know why. Jews, God's chosen people. And the law says you don't associate with the Gentiles, period. Peter, what's going on? Verse 4, but Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them. It's like, okay, I'm going to tell you exactly what happened. I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance, an amazement that came upon me, I saw a vision, a certain vessel descend, as it had been a great sheet, let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even to me. Upon the which, when I had fastened my eyes, I considered, and I saw four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And I heard a voice saying unto me, Arise, Peter, kill and eat, slay and eat. But I said, Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth. But the voice answered me again from heaven, What God has cleansed, call not thou common. And this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. And behold, immediately there were three men already come unto the house where I was, sent from Caesarea unto me. Verse 12, the Spirit bade me go with them, doubting, nothing doubting. Why did I go there, guys? Because God said to. The Spirit bade me. That's, he got revelation to go there. Nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, Send men to Joppa, call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words, whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. See, by scripture buildup, we get even some more information about what the angel told Cornelius. Who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. And then we get to verse 15. And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them as on us at the beginning. Peter said the beginning, referring to the day of Pentecost. Oh my goodness. Which was the beginning of salvation open to everyone. It was the beginning of Spirit reinstated for human beings. Now available. And this group that he's talking about at Cornelius' house spoke in tongues just like the 12 did on the day of Pentecost. Look at that. The Holy Spirit fell on them as on us at the beginning. And we read what happened when they started speaking in tongues, right? Peter and those others were just astonished. Their minds were blown. And Peter's like, get some water. We need to baptize them with water. But, verse 16, Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with Holy Spirit. One of the last things Jesus Christ told them in Acts 1. You shall be, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with Holy Spirit. For as much then, verse 17, as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God? Oops. Hang on, guys. No, put the water away. I just remembered what Jesus said. False alarm on the water thing. No, we don't need to dip. No, we're good. We're good. They just spoke in tongues. They got the like gift as we have. Verse 18. So these guys that were contending, the leadership in Jerusalem, when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance of life. And for the Jews, this was revolutionary, that the Gentiles are going to be part of this thing. And for many of the Judeans, they never could wrap their head around it. Many of them. And since we're talking about getting the light of God's word to our country, let's get inspired by reading the rest of this chapter, and then we'll close in Ephesians. So verse 19, now, they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen. You know, that's back in Acts 7 when Stephen got murdered. And then it says, Paul was breathing out threatenings. And so it says they were scattered abroad. They just went everywhere preaching the word. They traveled, we're in verse 19, they traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching, look at this, the word to none but unto the Jews only. So for us, don't discount anyone. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. Oh, some of these guys were like, let's preach to everybody. Nice. It was a great outreach in Antioch in the first century. Just a great spiritual revival. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. So much so that, verse 22, then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch. Word got back to Jerusalem that, hey, there's a whole bunch of people believing God's word up in Antioch. All right, Barnabas, we need you to go up there. Who, verse 23, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they should cleave, that they would cleave unto the Lord. And this guy, Barnabas, it says he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when in the scriptures it identifies someone as being having the Spirit of God or full of the Spirit of God, we can understand what follows after is revelation. Barnabas didn't go, hey, I haven't seen Paul for a long. Barnabas is the guy that brought Paul to the apostles in Jerusalem and said, hey, he's not doing that stuff anymore. He's a believer. He's one of us. You know, people are like, because he had done so much evil. But Barnabas' decision to go to Tarsus was by revelation. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Christians, Christ in. That's where it comes from, Christ in. And we know from Colossians that it says that the riches of the glory of the mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So it's pre-evident that the mystery is being taught in Antioch. And who's there? Paul is there. Yeah. They must have used that phrase a lot. It's Christ in you. It's Christ in you. It's Christ in me. It's Christ in all of us. Yeah, well, I like being a Christ in person. Verse 27, in those days came prophets from Jerusalem to Antioch. There stood up one of them, a prophet named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit, this is Revelation, that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which did come to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples up there in Antioch, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. Nobody was forced to give. Everyone gave according to his ability, what they determined. You know, like it says, isn't it in, where is it, in Philippians or Corinthians, where it says that God loves a cheerful giver. Yeah, where you don't give because you're forced to, not grudgingly or of necessity. God loves a cheerful giver. So in giving, when we give, we do it cheerfully as we determine, according as we have ability. Nobody should force or mandate. So that's what they did. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Let's close in Ephesians 5, if you would. Isn't that a great record? And like I said, there's lots in there, but what really stuck out to me, especially maybe in light of the election and so forth, was bringing the light of God's word to our beloved country. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, "See then that you walk circumspectly with wisdom, not as fools, but as wise." We're to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Anybody want to argue with that? Well, the days are evil. God says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. "Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." We read at the beginning of this teaching what the will of the Lord is. In Timothy, God would have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. We can and we should be kind and loving to everyone, right? But God says, redeeming our time. We are looking for people we can help with the truth of God's word. And our time is valuable. Redeeming the time. We spend our time with God's people or those who are hungry, those who desire to hear the truth. Why? Because we are the people that God has at this time and this place in history. Born-again believers. Born-again believers in England are the people God has in that country at this time. We're God's people. And we're all God has. It's kind of like, really? You got me? A lot of other better people you could get. Oh, we're a great bunch. God loves us. And it's such a great privilege of bringing what our country needs, the light of God's word. And so, you know, it doesn't mean that, you know, we isolate ourselves from the rest of the world. How are we going to find people like Cornelius, right? We don't discount anyone. You know, the party was wonderful last night. There were people from our fellowship. There were people that might go to church. There, who knows? Family, right. I was talking with, I think his name was Tom. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so he and I were having a little discussion, and you know, we're always looking to see if somebody's hungry. I mean, that's who we are. That's what we do. But I had mentioned, and he goes, "Oh yeah, Dave told me about that Bible fellowship thing. Was that, is that tonight?" Or I said, "No, it's on Sunday tomorrow." And we were talking a little bit, but there really wasn't much opportunity to go any farther. But you know, when we're around people, you know, that's what we do. And, you know, now with the way the election went, perhaps we'll have a little break maybe from the seemingly nonstop progression of ungodly ideologies in our country, a little more quiet and peaceable time in our lives. So let's use that to our advantage, redeeming the time. And, you know, when I read that verse, redeeming the time, it's like redeeming my time. My time here on earth. If the Lord tarries another 100 years, none of us are going to be here. Redeeming our time, the time I have on this earth. Where Paul says, "I have fought the good fight, I finished my course, I've kept the faith." So that's who we are and what we do. We use our time here on earth to look for open doors to speak God's word. Father, thank you for your great love for each one of us. And Father, we pray that you would lead us to those who want to know. Help us to speak that which will open their eyes so that they could turn from darkness to light, so that they may not only receive salvation, but Father, that they could come to a knowledge of the truth. Thank you for the great blessings in our lives because of what Jesus Christ did as born-again ones, all the rights, privileges, and abilities, Father, that you've freely given to each and every one of us that we don't deserve and could never earn. May we be ever grateful, and as we wait for the return of your Son, Father, may we just enjoy the life that you've given us to live, enjoy the great freedom that we have in Christ Jesus, and Father, may we be mindful to redeem the time and look for those like Cornelius who want to hear the truth and want to know what God has to say. Thanks for the privilege that we have to speak your word and for the great privilege it is to be children of the Most High God. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.